page 1534. Thank you. Page 1534. Dear. Page 1534, Romans chapter 13. We'll be reading the first seven verses. Page 1534, Paul's letter to the Romans, the first seven verses. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. Those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience's sake. For because of this, you also pay taxes. For they are God's ministers, attending continually to this very thing. Render, therefore, to all their due. Taxes to whom taxes are due. Customs to whom customs. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. A beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we are continuing, of course, to look at the fifth commandment and how that is fleshed out, if you will, how it's fleshed out in terms of all of Scripture. As we look at these two sections today, Hebrews 13, 7 and 17, and then Romans 13, 1 through 7, we see that God calls us to submit to and obey those who rule over us. God calls us to submit to and to obey those who rule over us. Now, you know, the natural tendency of fallen men is in two directions. Either to rule over others in a harsh and tyrannical way, or to rebel against authority. Right? Those are the two tendencies. Those who have authority, what do? Many times, their tendency is to be harsh and overbearing and bullying even. On the other hand, those of us that are under authority, what is our natural tendency? It's to rebel, is it not? We don't like to be told what to do. And so both of these extremes must be avoided. We indeed are called to a higher standard. As we saw last time, those in authority are to be kind and compassionate. And as we see here today, those under authority are to submit to and support those who are in charge. Now, we've already looked several weeks ago in general terms at the duties of inferiors, that is to say, those that are under authority. And we also looked at the application of those general duties to the family. But today, paralleling what we talked about last week, we're going to look at three other spheres of activity, three other, in a sense, as we apply these general principles, namely work, church, and state. Work, church, and state. Now, last week, and you may want to turn to this, Ephesians chapter 6, page 1583. Ephesians chapter 6, page 1583. We looked at this last week, verses 5 through 9 of Ephesians 6, page 1583. Bond servants, Paul writes, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as bond servants, slaves, literally, of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. Verse 9, and you masters do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. So there we see the relationship, as we saw last week, the relationship between a bondservant and a master. Now, how do we apply that text today most readily? Well, we most readily apply that passage today in terms of work, in terms of the employee-employer relationship, in terms of our labor as employees, and what attitude then, and what activity, what should be our relationship to those who are our boss. Well, the first thing that we see then is that we are to give honor to those who are in authority, including those at work, honor them in heart, speech, and behavior. Honor them in heart, speech, and behavior. 1 Timothy 6, verse 1, let as many bond servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and his doctrine may not be blasphemed. Honor in heart, speech, and behavior. Also, service with diligence, with care, with willingness, with fear. And there I think the fear is more that of reverence, respect, and also from obedience to Christ. I just read these verses from Ephesians chapter 6. Service with willingness and with an eye not to being men pleasers, but to being Christ pleasers in our place of employment. Also, faithfulness in our jobs, faithfulness and any trust committed to us. This is why Paul writes in Titus 2, verses 9 and 10, exhort bond servants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, in other words, not stealing, but showing all good fidelity or honesty, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. We profess faith in Jesus, but if we don't act properly, then we're not going to adorn the doctrine of God that we profess. We're going to betray that, if you will. And so Paul here says, again, be faithful. Don't steal from your employer. Faithfulness. And finally, in this regard, meekness and patience, even when being rebuked. Meekness and patience, even when being rebuked. 1 Peter 2, verses 18 through 20. 1 Peter 2, 18 through 20. Servants, we could say workers, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. For this is commendable if because of conscience toward God one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. For what credit is it if, when you're beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. So meekness, patience, even when you're dealing with someone who is harsh. So, work, employee-employer relationship. Secondly, church. What is the attitude towards church officers, and particularly those who are presbyters or elders? Well, they are to be regarded with high esteem and love. With high esteem and love. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 12 and 13. And we urge you, brethren, Paul writes, we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Same thing is true in Galatians chapter 4, verse 14 and 15. And my trial, which was in my flesh, Paul writes, you did not despise or reject, but you received me. Listen, you received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. What then was the blessing you enjoyed? For I bear you witness that if possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. Isn't that amazing? That shows the love, the affection that these people had for the Apostle Paul. We're also to give careful attendance upon the word preached and the other ordinances, particularly the sacraments that are administered by the presbyters, carefully listening to that which has been prepared for you as a meal every week. Thirdly, there is to be submission to their word of reproof and rebuke and to their discipline. This is exactly what we read just a moment ago in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. And so there must be then submission to the instruction, to their discipline, not just, of course, in a negative sense, but also in a positive sense, their instruction. Now, by the way, this is one of the reasons why church membership is so important. Because if you're not a member, you can't be submissive to the elders, can you? You've got to belong. You've got to be a member. And that's why we encourage folks, doesn't have to be this church, but we encourage folks to join the church, to join the Church Universal in whatever branch that may be, in order that elders can care for your soul as those who must give account, so that it might be done with joy and not with grief. You know, I look back at my ministry, and I lament so many sins that I have committed, so many ways in which I have not been pleasing to the Lord. And that grieves me. But it also grieves me when you pour your heart into folks and they go astray. And that's what the writer here is saying. We who are elders must give account on the day of judgment. Let it be with joy and not with grief. And so you submit then to those authorities, you submit to them. Let me also say in this regard that if you disagree with a church decision, there are avenues by which you may express that disagreement. In the Presbyterian Church, there are things called appeals. There are complaints by which you can bring a matter to the attention of a higher court. But even if you disagree, you must respect the decision. I was disappointed at our meeting of synod a few weeks ago up in Pennsylvania. I disagreed with a number of decisions, including one that confirmed the judgment of a minister, a friend of mine, in terms of his suspension from the ministry. I disagree greatly. And I will continue to disagree, and I'll continue to maintain that position. But I respect the decision, so that if he were visiting here from Kansas, if he were here, as much as I would love for him to fill this pulpit, I will not allow him to, because he is under suspension. And so we must respect the decision, even when we disagree with it. Fourthly, temporal and tangible support. Or we could say providing money, if I can be that bold about it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 14, Paul writes, "Even so the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel." In other words, if someone labors in the ministry, he should be supported in that. Galatians 6, verse 6. What's that? 1 Corinthians 9, verse 14. 1 Corinthians 9, 14. And then Galatians chapter 6, verse 6. Galatians 6, verse 6. "Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches." Supporting the ministry with your money. But more than that, there is also to be prayer for them. Paul says in Romans 15, verse 30, "Brethren, pray for us." Brethren, pray for us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 25. That's where we read, "Brethren, pray for us." And he said something similar in Romans 15. Prayer for them. Are you praying for TJ and myself? I believe y'all are, but I encourage you to do it. Prayer for us. We need your prayers. We need your prayers. Also, shutting ears to slander. Those who would seek to tear down the ministry. Not that we're above criticism, but shutting ears to slander and indeed defending them. This is why Paul writes in 1 Timothy 5, verse 19, "Do not receive an accusation against an elder except from two or three witnesses." And finally, in this regard, moral support. In general, not just in terms of submitting towards church officers, in general, what Paul is talking about here is submitting to church authority. The fathers and the brethren. Or we could say not removing the ancient landmarks, the landmarks that have been set. And so we submit to and we obey those who rule over us. So work, church, finally state. Now, Let me just pause here a moment and say, some of y'all, matter of fact, it's interesting, in this small group here, three of y'all work security. Isn't that interesting? Three of y'all work security. And those of y'all that do, I did a little security work many, many years ago. You know how important that job is. In order what? To keep order, right? In order to keep order. Well, that's what the government is there for, is it not? To keep order in society. And so what is to be our attitude then? What is to be our attitude towards those who rule over us, who try to keep order in society? Well, 1 Peter 2, verse 17. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. We are to have high esteem and honor for those who are in authority. We're to be subject to and obedient to their lawful commands. Now, we'll have opportunity, Lord willing, over the next few weeks to talk about, well, what happens if the government gets out of control? And we'll talk about those things, and even about the whole issue. I mean, you know, 4th of July is coming up. You've heard about the little revolution we had 250 years ago. Was that just or unjust? We can debate that. But yet there's a good case to be made of the right of revolution in certain cases. We'll look at that, Lord willing, in a few weeks. But in general terms then, when there is a lawful order given, when the government is not acting tyrannically and so forth, Romans 13 verse 1, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. And it does appear that what is being said in this regard is not just that, well, God is sovereign over all things and he's ordained whatever comes to pass, and therefore he's in charge and so forth. It appears, though, that it's even deeper than that. It's a reference to the fact that it is God not simply that has ordained these particular people to be the president and the governor and so forth, but that it is God who's established the whole notion of civil government as well. And because of that, and because there is no authority except from God, the authorities that exist are appointed by God. And so subjection and obedience to their lawful commands. Thirdly, rendering to officials what is their due. Verses 6 and 7 of Romans 13. For because of this, you also do the thing we really enjoy doing. You pay taxes, right? For they are God's ministers, that is say servants, attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, tribute or taxes to whom taxes, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. And so rendering to officials what is due to them, including taxes. Also, defense of them in danger. And finally, praying for them. Even as we looked at prayer for those who are elders, even so we see the same principle then with regard to civil authorities. 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I exhort, I encourage, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. Praying for those that are our rulers. Now, I have two basic points of application today. And first is to look at this idea of those who are of something in terms of application, that we who are under authority should give to those who are above us. Again, it should be respect for them. Respect for them. In the book of Leviticus, chapter 19 and verse 32, Leviticus 19, verse 32, you shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man and fear your God. I am the Lord. Reverence, respect. Respect for the opinions of those who are older. You know, it's an amazing thing. I've mentioned this before, but parents have always been older than their children. You ever notice that? And so those who have authority, you see, over us, respect, especially those that are older, respect for the opinions of those who have lived longer and presumably have more wisdom and understanding. And also demonstrating respect by proper protocol. What do you do, guys, when a lady enters the room? You stand up to show respect. The same is true when an older person enters the room. You tip your hat to a lady. You hold the door for her. How about this? At a sporting event, do you yell, "Kill the umpire"? I hope not. Or do you thank the referee for his labors? Boy, that would make his day, wouldn't it? Or respecting what a coach says with regard to training and practice and play. And so respect, but also humble submission. Humble submission. 1 Peter 5 and verse 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another, be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. But submit yourselves to your elders, not just the church elders, the church presbyters, that's what presbyter means, elder, but those who are older than you. And by the way, this includes the student-teacher relationship. You should, if you are a student, want to do well so as to bring honor upon the teacher or professor, but also submitting to his instructions. And one other thing I would mention here, not just respect and humble submission, but imitation of their graces and holy lifestyle. Imitation of their graces and holy lifestyle. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, Paul writes, "Imitate me, mimic me, imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ." But this, my friends, is one of the reasons why those who should not be imitated should not be in positions of authority. Those who are those who engage in blatantly shameful behavior, such as homosexuality, should not be in authority, because they should not be imitated. Well, finally today, we see the fulfillment of this passage in Jesus Christ. He is the one who always respected and submit it to human authority. We've seen this in the past from Luke chapter 2. You remember the incident where his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast, and they were on the way back home, and where's Jesus? Where's our 12-year-old son? Where is he? And we see there at the end of Luke chapter 2 Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. Was subject to them. And he increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Jesus was subject to his parents. Jesus was subject to the church authorities. Jesus submitted to the power of Rome in terms of his crucifixion. He submitted even when it threatened his life. And he serves, therefore, as a wonderful example for us. But not just an example. Not just an example. He fulfilled all righteousness on our behalf. Because I don't keep the fifth commandment like I should, whether as one in authority or one under authority. Oh my. How many times have I behaved wickedly? Have I shown whether overbearingness, perhaps? Or on the other hand, a rebelliousness. And so Jesus not only paid the price for our sins, but he fulfilled the law that we could not keep so that we can stand in him who is God come in the flesh. Amen. Will you please stand for prayer? Now, Father, we do give thanks for this thy word. We give thanks, Father, for the example of Jesus, but, Lord, also that he is our Savior. And so be pleased, Lord, to convey these truths to our hearts. Be pleased to work these things out in our lives so that more and more we might be like Jesus. For we pray this in his name. Amen. Please turn with me to Psalm 36a.